Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Enel Chile FY 2019 Results Conference Call. My name is Cindy, and I will be your operator today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your touch-tone phone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. During this conference call, we may make statements that constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Such forward-looking statements reflect only our current expectations, are not guarantees of future performance, and involve risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially from those anticipated in the forward-looking statements as a result of various factors. These factors are described in Enel Chile's press release reporting its FY 2019 results, the presentation accompanying this conference call, and Enel Chile's annual report on Form 20-F, including under Risk Factors. You may access our FY 2019 results press release and presentation on our website, www.enel.cl, and our 20-F on the SEC's website, www.sec.gov. Readers are cautioned not to place undue reliance on those forward-looking statements, which speak only as of their dates. Enel Chile undertakes no obligation to update these forward-looking statements or to disclose any development as a result of which these forward-looking statements become inaccurate, except as required by law. I would now like to turn the presentation over to Mrs. Isabela Clemes, Head of Investor Relations of Enel Chile. Please proceed.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Enel Chile 2019 presentation. I am Isabela Clemes, Head of Investor Relations. The presentation will be hosted by Paulo Paolotti, our CEO, and Giuseppe Turchiarelli, our CFO. Paulo will walk you through the main highlights and evolution of our strategy and our operation performance. Giuseppe will detail our financial results. After this call and Q&A section that will be open to those connected, our IR team will continue to be available to provide you with any detailed information you may need with respect to the figures included in this presentation. Thank you all for your presence, and let me now hand over to Paulo.
Thank you, Isabela, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Let's start by mentioning the highlights of the period. Our decarbonization plan is fully on track. On December 31st, Enel Generación Chile disconnected and terminated the operation at its Tarapacá power plant. This milestone, initially scheduled for May 2020, was anticipated at the company's formal request to the authority, reflecting our commitment towards an increasingly clean energy matrix. The Tarapacá plant had installed capacity of 158 MW, equivalent to 25% of the total capacity of Enel core power and plants in Chile. On the same page, as already announced, we have begun the construction of the largest solar power plant in Chile, Campo del Sol, a 382 MW solar power plant, and the expansion of our geothermal plant, Cerro Pabellón. In total, this year, we have approximately 600 MW in construction. During 2020, we will give you more information on the construction status. We continue to consolidate our leadership position in electrification.
Enel Chile subsidiary, Enel X, will develop the first electro route, including 1,200 charging points and covering 5,000 km from Arica to Punta Arenas in the next five years. On quality of our operation, we we are continuing to focus our investment to increase our efficiency and client satisfaction. Despite adverse hydro conditions in the last quarter, full-year EBITDA increased by $231 million, or plus 18% versus last year's results, boosted by better performance in both generation and distribution business, and the PPA one-time effect in energy generation. In this context, the Board of Directors proposed a dividend payout of 60% for 2019, based on earnings adjusted by the impairment associated to the one-time effect related to the decarbonization agreement. Last but not least, ESG is fully embedded in our strategy and operation, which continues to be to contribute in an important way to the SDG targets. On slide 2, let me reaffirm our full commitment with the decarbonization process in Chile. As you may recall, on June 4th, we signed an agreement with the Ministry of Energy, which defined the procedures to carry out the progressive closure of our coal-fired power plants, Tarapacá, Bocamina 1, and Bocamina 2. After our request to the authorities to anticipate the closure of Tarapacá on December 31st, 2019, we successfully disconnected and terminated the operation of this plant, following our commitments toward ESG and the fair transition. For instance, we have worked closely with our employees in order to identify other opportunities within our group, providing them all the necessary training to be relocated in other activities. Within this context, it's worth to highlight that we are continuously evaluating the market conditions for potential closure of our two remaining coal power plants. Now moving to decarbonization on slide 3. At country level, Chile is one of the front runners in LATAM in terms of decarbonization strategy. Up to now, 1.4 gigawatt of Chilean coal capacity will be closed by 2024. In order to guarantee national energy system availability and stability, we strongly believe that certain regulatory guidelines are important to foster the country's ambition goals. Under this point, the new renewable capacity at the national level should be supported by transmission lines improvement to avoid curtailment. We expect as well an appropriate capacity payment mechanism to support the transition toward a more sustainable generation matrix and the right technology to sustain the flexibility in the system. Today, decarbonization is a reality and the formal requirement of our clients that are demanding clean energy. Under this context, during 2019, we signed 3 agreements with mining companies to supply up to 7 terawatt hour per year of renewable energy starting from 2020 and 2021 window period. In addition to more than 83 smaller contracts awarded with green certificates. Now on slide 4. The role of customers is set to change, opening up new business opportunities that will be captured by analytics. Enelix is our arm to foster the electrification, coping with energy transition in the country, and capturing new business opportunity in this context. Recently, as a part of our plan to promote the development of electric mobility, we have signed an agreement to install 1,200 charge points from Arica to Punta Arenas, covering 5,000 kilometers, a strong support to reduce city air pollution. Moving to distribution KPIs on slide 5. Our customer base increased by 47,000 clients during this period, reaching 1.97 million of clients with a total energy distributed of 17.1 terawatt hour. On the resilience of the grid, we have been focusing in the critical areas for Saidi and Taifi, replacing approximately 100 kilometers of cables in our low-tension grids and executing more than 32 kilometers of grid extension and reinforcements. Our interruption index, SAIDI, in 2019 showed a decrease of 6% with respect to last year's adjusted figure. Aiming to improve our quality of services, we are focused in the installation of telecontrol equipment, reaching 2,184 units installed, and the implementation of different technologies for monitoring our grids. Our goal is to install up to additional 940 units within the next 3 years. On efficiency and agility of our operation, we are implementing a real expansion, focusing on timing reduction, detecting more precisely anomalies in higher density urban zones. Our 2019 energy losses decreased from 5.02% to 5.99%. The continuous improvement of the energy losses is related to the development of a predictive analytics model that indicates potential losses in a specific zone or supply interruption. Thanks to this model, we have reduced our losses and maximized our field efficiency, avoiding unproductive works and displacement. Line number 6. Let me give an highlight on our progress toward the SDG. Sustainability is a key driver for creating long-term value for our shareholders and stakeholders. Our strategy integrates our commitments to UN Sustainable Development Goals, recognizing the synergies between social progress and corporate success. Aware of our role in the growth and progress of areas where the company operates, we carry out more than 230 projects focused on engaging the plus 300 local communities and making them a part of the energy transition. Since 2015, when we first committed to the SDGs, we have brought more than 650,000 people under the perspective of the sustainable progress. Our business strategy contributes directly to achieve the SDGs number 9 and number 11 related to build sustainable and resilient industries, infrastructure and cities through digitalization of our grid and installing charging points to enable the growth of electromobility. NHL's decarbonization strategy and strong investment in renewables drive our commitment to climate action and the journey towards a zero-emission company. In 2019, 66% of total energy generation was emission-free. Slide number 7. Continuing on our ESG progress, let me summarize our 2019 main achievements. The inclusion of the company in 3 categories of the Dow Jones Sustainability Index for the 2nd consecutive years and in the Rebecca Sam yearbook for the first time receiving bronze class distinctions reflects our strong commitment toward a sustainable business model. On MSCI, we have improved our evaluation, receiving an A rate. Additionally, we continue to be part of the Emerging Market Index from FTSE4Good and FTSE4Good Emerging Latin American Index. All of these demonstrate our ability to create value for the shareholders towards developing and maintaining a fully sustainable business model, leading the energy transition and promoting responsible business practices. The regulatory and macro framework play an important role on the sustainability of our business. So let me drive you through this on slide number 9. Country demand in 2019 had a slight increase when compared to 2018 figures, reflecting Chilean GDP evolution for 2019. Therefore, the National Energy Commission recently reviewed its demand projection to consider an average evolution yearly demand increase for the 2019-2039 period of 2.18%. The higher increase in the free market, considering last year migration. In 2019, we have seen a lower migration trend to the free market when compared to 2017 and 2018 figures. According to our estimate, we captured the largest stake of the migrated clients. We estimate that it still remains 1.4 terawatt hour approx that could migrate to the free market. Let me remind you that the government has also decided to postpone the regulated energy auction to November 18, 2020, maintaining the COD for January 1st, 2026, and a volume of 5.6 terawatt hour. In 2019, the country had a challenging year regarding hydrology. Globally, Chile faced an important hydro decrease of 3.2 terawatt hour, of which 0.8 terawatt hour on Enel Chile, when compared to 2018 figures, mainly as a result of a poor hydro condition in the fourth quarter 19. It's worth mentioning that Enel Chile hydro generation was slightly affected when compared to country's figure, since our hydro facilities are located in different basins, with some of them with the reservoirs. Now let's move to regulatory updates. Chart number 10. Different measures have been announced and some already introduced as a means to meet social demand that saw a spike last October. Regarding distribution business, end of last year, the government approved the so-called Ley Corta, where some new concepts were introduced. First of all, the discount rate for the tariff definition will be calculated every 4 years by the regulator. A 6% floor and 8% cap will apply. Both cap and floor values are after tax. A second element refers to the process to define the new distribution tariff, the so-called VAD, Valor Agregado of the Distribución. The new process established that only the authority will develop the tariff assessment with the possibility for companies to challenge the results appealing to the panel of experts. The law also introduced some new elements, so that the reference company that is used to define tariff will better reflect each distributor reality. Last but not least, the law indicated that by January 2021, distribution companies should only perform distributed-related activities. We expect the regulator to provide the practical implementation rules in the coming weeks. Moving on what is known as Ley Larga, the minister publicly committed to dispatch a draft of the law within the next weeks to the Congress. The discussion process will probably last several months, and the new distribution framework is expected to be defined by the next year. There are three potential topics under discussion. The role of traders. It is expected that the new law will create a new entity that shall be authorized by the government to operate. We are in favor of the creation of this new entity in the market, but safeguarding those new entities should have the financial balance sheet to operate without not create uncertainty in the market. The introduction of some new elements to better align the so-called reference company, based on which the regulator set tariff, with the real company situation, in order to better reflect real needs and the new role of the distribution company in the energy transition and electrification scheme, and the market further liberalization. Continuing on distribution, let's go to slide number 11. Based on the elements we have just commented, which were introduced by the so-called Lei Corta, the regulator is now in the process to define next regulatory cycle tariffs, which will be applied between November 2020 and November 2024. A consultation document with the detailed methodology to be used to define the new tariff for the next cycle has been published by the authority, and the WACC value has been calculated at 5.15%. Therefore, the floor of fixed real post-tax will apply. The process will follow different stages as identified in the slide, and once the final version of this document is concluded, the authority will select the advisor based on public and competitive process that will develop the assessment to define the new VAD within 5 months. Based on these events, we believe that the final decree will most probably be published by the second half of 2021 with the retroactive effect at November 2020. On generation, let me give you an update on the energy stabilization mechanism on slide 12. The energy price stabilization mechanism was approved at the beginning of November and intends to defer the increases in the regulated customer tariffs. The regulator has recently published a second version of the resolution, confirming that once the cap of $1,350 million is reached, final tariffs will be revised so that companies will not accumulate any new credits. Also, based on the resolution published, all accounts receivable shall be recovered between January 2025 and December 2027. And Chile 2019 accounts receivable related to the energy stabilization mechanism will total $133 million approximately. Let's now give a deep view on the company financials on slide 14, starting with our CapEx. Our total CapEx amounted to $451 million, in line with the previous year. Customer CapEx totaled $55 million, 15% higher than December 2018, with the main investments allocated to build connection to the new customers. Asset management CapEx reached $140 million, with a $9 million increase mainly due to activities in our network associated to load improvement and to the operation of 4 new substations required in order to comply with the region load expansion, offset by the one-time effect regarding the non-scheduled maintenance of Tarapacá power plant in 2018. On growth, our development CapEx reached $286 million, mainly allocated to renewables, which recorded $235 million. During 2019, almost 90% of our investment was allocated to contribute to achieve the SDG targets that Enel Chile has committed. Let's go to slide 15. In 2019, 65% of our capacity is based on renewable sources. The net production increased by 5%, amounting to 21 terawatt hour, driven by 1 terawatt hour of higher thermal production, due to the higher dispatch of our coal-fired plants in the fourth quarter of 2019, and the dispatch of our CCGT plants, mainly San Isidro, due to a higher availability of gas from Argentina. The 0.8 terawatt-hour of higher renewable production, mainly coming from EGP, was offset by the lower hydro dispatch of our plants. Our physical energy sales decreased by 0.9 terawatt-hour compared to 2018 by the following effects: minus 2.9 terawatt-hour of lower consumption of distribution companies, mainly associated to the migration of customers to the free market, and the entering of new PPAs from the December 2014 auction to serve the regulated market, partially offset by 2 terawatt hour of higher free market sales as part of our strategy to capture new clients and the ones that recently migrated to the free market. All in all, our energy balance showed a better risk profile in the short side, considering that we have reduced our exposure on the purchases. I will now hand over to Giuseppe, who will go through the details of our financial summary for the period.
Thanks, Paolo. Good morning, everyone. Let me present you the financial highlights for the full year 2019, summed up on slide 16. Revenue increased 15% or $446 million, primarily due to the extraordinary income on early termination of Anglo-American's PPA, higher energy distributed in our network business, and additional e-buses delivered to the public transportation system through Enelec. Our EBITDA was up by $231 million, or 18% versus last year's results, boosted by better performance in our business and the previously mentioned PPA effect. Therefore, our EBITDA margin grew by around 200 basis points. Group net income is 18% lower than 2018 figures, mainly due to the non-recurring effects related to the decarbonization agreement signed in June 2019. Without this effect, net income will be higher by 35%. Our net debt in the period decreased $60 million, and I will go through it later. Finally, our net debt EBITDA ratio reduced from 2.4 times to 2.2 times. I will give you more detail in the following slide. Now, on slide 17, let me show you the drivers behind our EBITDA growth. As anticipated in our Investor Day held on December, our last quarter results EBITDA would have been impacted by the hydrology and energy demand performance. As you can see in the slide, this scenario was confirmed. Let me now give you more detail on that. In 2018, we booked a one-off positive impact from an insurance reimbursement related to Tarapacá power plant. This year, we registered lower hydrology that has been covered by higher thermal dispatch and spot energy prices, lower energy demand affecting our generation business, particularly in the regulated market. Regulatory impact related to the efficiencies captured by the current distribution model and a minor impact on EBITDA by the adoption of the stabilization mechanism, and the recognition of NLX basis business in the fourth Q of 2018, which was anticipated in the third quarter of 2019. Now, on slide 18, let me show you the drivers behind our full-year EBITDA. Our 2019 full-year EBITDA increased by 18%, or $231 million, as a result of the agreement of the early termination of Anglo-American PPAs, partially offset by the Tarapacá insurance reimbursement booked in 2018. Lower hydrology, mainly as a consequence of the last quarter results, and consequently higher thermal dispatch, resulting in a negative impact of $58 million. Lower sales in generation business of $43 million, particularly in the regulated market, more than offset by PPA indexation of $82 million. Higher EBITDA due to our decarbonization strategy, resulting in better mix thanks to the incorporation of energy and power assets and lower variable generation costs. Positive contribution from NLX business, boosted by e-public transportation. Finally, the EBITDA in distribution was near flat, as I will detail later on. In slide 19, we have a summary of the performance of our generation business, including Enel Generation and Enel Green Power. The main drivers that explain the generation EBITDA are mainly associated with the performance of the demand and hydrology, as I just mentioned, and the positive effect from our decarbonization strategy and the PPA indexation. As a result of this element, our generation EBITDA margin reached 47% in 2019, representing an increase of 2 percentage points when comparing to 2018 figures, showing the resilience of our margin. Please, let's move to slide 20 to explain the most relevant operating results of our network and Enel business. As of December 2019, the EBITDA of Enel Distribución and Enel grew by 3% or $9 million, mainly due to ECT positive results due to the addition of 183 new electrical buses to the public transportation system associated to the infrastructure and the new public lighting contract that contribute with additional of $9 million. Our network business recognized an improvement of the so-called normal technical remuneration associated with higher investment in network, higher volume, and lower losses. These results were offset by higher network maintenance costs in 2019 and the non-recurring event of the period. Now, on slide 21, let's go through the main driver of our net ordinary income. Depreciation and amortization reached $337 million, an increase of $31 million mainly related to the incorporation of Enel Green Power assets. The impairment increased $406 million mainly due to the one-time effect of Tarapacá and Bocamina 1 power plant, related to the decarbonization agreement signed in June 2018. Financial results and others amounted to an expense of $215 million, an increase of $57 million mainly due to higher financial expense related to the ERGI project in Enel Chile, the effect of the stabilization mechanism in Enel Generación is around $15 million, and the incorporation of Enel Green Power Chile debt. Income tax decreased by $131 million, mainly as a result of the lower tax expenses related to the coal power plant impairment booked in the second quarter, and positive impact of the simplification of Enel Generación corporate structure, partially offset by higher taxes because of the PPA termination booked in 2019. Minorities net income decreased by 61%, mainly as a consequence of the higher stake of Enel Chile in Enel Generación Chile since April 2018. As a consequence of all the above, the ordinary 2019 cumulative net income reached $421 million. It's worth to underline that the additional, the adjusted group net income grew by 35%. Let me now go through our debt on slide 22. Our gross debt decreased by $99 million versus January 1st, 2019, amounting to $3.59 billion in December 2019, primarily due to Enel Chile and Enel Generación amortization. As of December 2019, our net debt EBITDA ratio reached 2.2 times, showing an improvement versus 2018 figures. The average cost of our debt is almost in line with 2018, reaching 5.2% in 2018. The average term is less than 7 years. Our net debt as of December 2019 compared to 1st January 2019, adjusted by IFRS 16 closing, decreased $60 million, mainly due to the positive performance of our free cash flow. Finally, on our debt amortization, we have, in slide 24, we have an annual average of around $230 million maturity in the next 4 years. Also, I would like to highlight the upgrade we recently received from Fitch at Enel Chile national level to AA+ with stable outlooks. Now, I will hand over to Paolo for closing remarks.
Before starting the Q&A session, I would like to mention some relevant takeaways. Enel Chile continues to size new opportunities and new businesses in the Chilean market and to cope with recent changes in the regulatory framework. There are important elements to be addressed during 2020 to pursue a better regulatory environment and the right signals to guarantee system long-term sustainability. Our growth strategy is driven by long-term partnership with clients, a sustainable and well-diversified portfolio mix, investment in the digitalization and in the resilience of our grid. All this leads to an improvement in the efficiency of our operation and to better services to our clients. Our strategy on decarbonization allows us to minimize commodities and hydrological risks and to achieve a more predictable long-term cash flow. All in all, I would like to reinforce that we will continue to work along the path of sustainability and circular economy, and the closure of Tarapacá is a clear example of this approach, delivering stable cash flow, sustainable margins, and value to our shareholders. Thank you for your attention, and now let's open the Q&A section. I will hand over to Isabella.
Thank you for your attention. I will now pass the call to the operator for the Q&A section. Operator, please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the star, then the number one on key on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Your first question comes from Javier Suarez from Mediobanca.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. I have three. The first one is on the numbers that the company has delivered versus the guidance that it was given in the business plan presentation by early December. So the EBITDA at 1.5 billion euros is lower than the guidance that was at 1.66 billion euros, and also the adjusted net income, it was 0.8, but now it's below $0.7 billion. You can help us to understand the reasons for these numbers below guidance in December. One effect could be Forex, but apart from Forex, is there any other factor that has been affecting the numbers that you have been providing with for 2019? Also, a related question is on the CapEx. The CapEx has amounted to below $500 million, and I think in the business plan you were talking about a number north of $600 million of CapEx. You can help us to understand if there has been or not a delay on CapEx versus what you guide for in December. That's the first question. The second question is on the net working capital effect during 2019. So in the slide number 22, we see the debt evolution. And the thing that I wanted a clarification on is on that FFO number that you are showing, you can help us understand what is embedded in terms of working capital impact in the net debt evolution of the company. And then the third and final question is on the new stability mechanisms for generation. Basically, the thing that I would like to have a clarification is which is the net working capital negative effect that you are expecting for the years 2020, 2021, and 2022 as a consequence of this new mechanism. Many thanks.
Okay, thank you for your question. I give you an answer regarding CapEx and then I leave the remaining question to Giuseppe. Regarding CapEx, as we also explain our business plan presentation, we are committed to develop, to invest 2.5 billion of US dollars and with a strong percentage on the renewables. We have several projects already ongoing. What we are doing is to improve the investment for this year to go north of $1 billion US dollar in order to have the main important plans in, under construction during this period to be finalized. First is the Campo del Sol and the Cerro Pavilion that are on track and we expect to finalize by the end of this year. We have a quite important project ongoing and so we will keep you updated on the evolution during the next conference call. Regarding the numbers,
okay. For what concerns the guidance, the most important variances comparing the results with the data that have been provided in the capital market in December, out of the effects, we have the impact of the crisis in terms of demand, energy demand, and the impact of the hydro lower volume. As we anticipated at the end of last year, we supposed to have this effect, and as a matter of fact, we performed, we failed. So let me say that it's around $100 million, more or less 50-50 hydro effect and crisis. For what concerns the networking capital, we have three main effects of the worsening of the networking capital in comparison to 2018. The first one is the price mechanism price stabilization that worth around 140 million in our networking capital. We have also roughly $80 million regarding the fact that during 2019, because of a very cheap Argentinian gas availability, we decided to stop using our long-term contract for what concerns the gas. And since this contract is a take or pay, we basically paid this amount that can be used in the future. So in other words, we anticipated the payment that will be used in the following year. And finally, we had the payment of the buses that we bought in 2018 and we paid in 2019. These are the three main important variances that we had in 2019, net working capital. And I agree that for what concerns the price mechanism, I've already answered. So it was more or less $144 million.
Your next question comes from Enrico Bartoli from MainFirst.
Yes, hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my question. The first one is regarding the guidance for this year. In the business plan you present in November, you have a target of $1.8 billion. If we adjust 2018 for the impact of the termination of the PPA, we are starting from 1.3, so there is a half a billion increase implied in the guidance. First of all, I was wondering if you in the guidance include any possible positive one-offs, and secondly, if you can elaborate on what you expect the drivers to be for this kind of increases, and if the target is still achievable, also considering the recent evolution of the Forex. The other questions are related. First of all, for 2020, if you can elaborate on the outlook that you expect for the power generation margins, you highlighted the low hydro production in the fourth quarter. So, if you expect this to continue also this year, and if you can also elaborate on the impact that you expect on the distribution business. From the revision of the return, the allowed return, and maybe it's a bit early to say, but the possible impact on, say, the study setting the VAD for your distribution business. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the question. Let me give you the answer regarding the distribution and the Yeah, and then I leave the comments on the data on guidance to Giuseppe. Going on, regarding the driver for the 2020, we have embedded in our numbers a projection for the hydroelectricity that is in line with the average over the last 10 years. The market practice and from the technical point of view, the numbers that should be taken into account, the numbers of years that should be taken into account should be larger. As a matter of privacy, we have taken only 10 years, and this is one of the main drivers that should go to sustain our results. It's clear that we are going through a very strict monitoring of the evolution. First, during the first month, we get the production that is more or less in line with our expectation, some 10 gigawatt hours of minor production. But you know that this is a technology that has a cyclicity, and so the important contribution usually came in the second half of the year. But this is something that we continue to monitor, also using our, best technical elements for the forecast, and we will take into account any kind of evolution. Regarding distribution, if I understood well the question, the impact is of the new framework is already embedded in our numbers. So even if, it has been already stated, the WACC for the definition of the tariff for the new regulatory framework is set at 6, this will, according to our analysis, our numbers, our plan can sustain this approach. So we don't see any impact on the numbers of distribution for this about this definition. And this is regarding the is related to definition on the VAD. So we do not expect any surprise in our number according to the evolution of the regulatory framework on distribution. Regarding guidelines, if you may add something.
Well, I mean, of course, we confirm the guidance, and the only point is that 2020 guidance, as Paolo already mentioned, foreseen a hydrology that is the average of the last 10 years. And of course, it means that we have a cheaper sources of energy. On the other end, we assume to have an exchange rate where we return to a level around below the 700 pesos per dollar. So we have also a small effect regarding from the FX. And I confirm that we don't have any one-off effect or one-off possible upside right now.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have a question, please press star, then the number one on your touchtone keypad. Your next question comes from Rodrigo Mora from Moneda.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for the presentation. I have a question related to the fourth quarter results. I would like to understand how the energy purchase at generation level was almost the double than the third quarter 2019. And when we take an average energy price, we can see that this average price almost was the double than the third quarter results. And I don't understand how was it possible when the spot price at the Chilean electricity system, the spot price during the fourth quarter was lower than the third quarter of 2019. The spot price was $36 per megawatt hour compared with $48 per megawatt hour during three quarter 2019. I think one this point was had to resolve a very strong, huge cost and the impact in the EBITDA of generation business. I have another question is related to the low performance of the geothermal unit, Cerro Pabellón. When the project was announced, the company expected that this project generate approximately 330 gigawatt hours, and during 2019, we saw that the project had generated only almost 200 gigawatt hour. I don't know if the company are going to take actions to improve the performance of the project, considering the huge amounts and the higher capex that the company spent in this project. That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rodrigo, for your question. Regarding the first on volume and price in the first quarter, the fact that there was a large amount of volumes different from the other the previous period or the last year period was due to the fact that this period, as I mentioned before, is impacted by hydro generation. And when there is low dispatching of and low volumes of hydro generation, the opportunity for the companies to generate with its own assets, and this year we had availability of Argentinian gas and buy in the spot market. For this reason, due to the fact that the reduction in hydro generation was so huge that the numbers, the volumes for the other technologies, especially thermal gas and thermal coal, with so a large amount. Especially if you look at the evolution of the hydro generation along the year, the first 9 months was not so different from the previous one. The very large impact came from the last quarter, that was approximately 1 tera. And 1 tera of hydro production in one single quarter imposed some other, let's say, different kind of generation mix. This is the reason regarding volumes. Regarding prices, you have also taken into account that our reference price is not the spot, so it is a bundle of different contracts that we have, and there are some special, amount of money that has been managed for the regularization of our position. This has an impact regard if you look at the average price considered for the generation. Regarding geothermal, we are fixing the technical aspect of the plant, and we expect to have the first and second unit fully at full performance within this year. And so going through the construction of the third unit and the improvement of the first two we expect to have by year end the three units fully loaded and fully operative at full performance.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Enrico Bartoli from MainFirst.
Hi, sorry, I take the chance for a quick follow-up. We discussed about the impact on the regulatory changes in the distribution business. I was wondering what is your view on the possible impact from the Ley Larga, which I understand has not been proposed yet, but what do you think would be the impact on your integrated margins from the unbundling of the commercial activities from the distribution?
I think that there is a matter in the organization of the business. I think that could be also an opportunity because the Ley Larga should fix in a clear way, from one side, the way in which the tariff will be fixed. So to have a reference model company that should be closer to the real one. Then with the role of the new potential players, like the trader, we do not expect any impact on our business, but we expect to have players that has financial stability in the system, because we have experience in other markets, in other countries, where at the opening of the market, with the introduction of the new figures, there is a huge amount of new players that create instability because of the lack of financial strength of the players. So good players with the right financial stability are welcome, and we are having a will have a role in the sector. So we don't see this kind of problem. Then there is also the element of the further opening on the market. This is something that still under discussion. I think that the gradual opening of the market is to be expected, with a clear rule in order to have open and transparent competitivity in this market.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one key on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. You have a follow-up question from Rodrigo Mora from Moneda.
Sorry, I forgot a question related to the project Los Cóndores. When do you expect that the project will start to commercial operation?
The project is going on regarding the, let's say, you know, the project has a complex structure of vertical and horizontal development. We are going on in order to finalize the connection to the Laguna Basin, and we are under review of the, let's say, vertical peak that is driving water into the, let's say, the generation machine. We have already, let's say, in 2019, we have invested $130 million, and we are going to do the same this year. And we are looking for the best solution for the managing on the vertical peak. At the moment, we don't have any new forecast regarding the deadline. We will keep you updated during this year.
During this year?
No, I will keep you updated regarding the evolution of the project during this year. At the moment, we do not have any review regarding the COD date. At the moment, is 2021, but is affected by these analysis that we are doing in the vertical peak.
Okay, thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone telephone. Your next question comes from Javier Suarez from Mediobanco.
Thank you again for taking my questions. Two additional ones. In slide number 17, there is a column called Others that is impacting negatively the EBITDA during fourth quarter by minus $16 million. Dollars. You can help us to understand what is behind this number. And then if you can remind us when you build up your numbers and your business plan guidance for 2019, which is the exchange ratio that you utilize in the numbers, the exchange ratio is 702 Chilean peso per US dollar. What was the number that you used when you build up the business plan that you presented on the 2nd of December? Many thanks.
Okay, for what concern line number 17, others, basically the amount is related to the financial aging of our debt. The impact is an accounting impact, not a cash impact. And for what concern the exchange rate that has been used for our guidelines, it was 652 pesos per dollar in December versus an actual an average of 700.
Okay, many thanks.
I'm showing there are no further questions at this time. I would like to now turn the conference back to Mrs. Isabella Clemens.
Okay. Okay, well, we do not have any more questions. I conclude the results conference call. Let me remind you that the investor relations team will be available for any doubts that you may have. Many thanks for your attention.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation and have a wonderful day. You may all disconnect.